Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbat. We were learning the laws of Muktzeh, and we had discussed the classical Muktzeh that we are familiar with, Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur, a vessel that we primarily use for prohibited actions. So that could be our scissors, that could be our pen. There are things that what we do with them is prohibited on Shabbat. That's our classical Muktzeh that we encounter most. Now we come to Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter. I have an instrument that I use for permissible things. My fork, my knife, my plate. Those are instruments that are used for permissible things on Shabbat. So the Gemara in Tractate Shabbat tells us that in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, the second temple era, when they ascended to Israel, they discovered the Jews were doing business on Shabbat. And Ezra saw that he couldn't get the Jews to stop having their shops open on Shabbos, their bathhouses open on Shabbos. Now, they were doing things that were Isurim Doraita and the Rabbanan. So they began by saying, everything's forbidden. Ezra and Nehemiah wielded a lot of power. The Persian king backed them, and he gave them the authority to punish people and to jail and to take their money. They had a lot of power. They were the political governors of the place, which was the equivalent of being a miniature king. And so they made tremendous institutions. So they began by saying, no touching any vessel on Shabbos. Leave your forks alone. Don't touch any vessels on Shabbos. People couldn't use a fork on Shabbos. Because they said, first we're prohibiting everything. No vessels on Shabbos. Ah, you guys got the hint. Okay, now we could make it easier. So they started permitting things. So they said, okay, you could use your forks and knives on Shabbos. And they worked their way down after they were able to show the people that you can't just do whatever you want on Shabbat. Now, when they came to town, the Jews were saying, where in the Bible does it say I can't do business on Shabbat? So Ezra and Nehemiah said, never mind. You can't touch anything. Forget money. You're not allowed to touch your spoons on Shabbos. And they began by prohibiting everything. They saw the people got the hint. The people learned that you can't just do whatever you want on Shabbat. Then they started permitting Muktzeh. So when they permitted us to use Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter, the instruments that we use for permissible things on Shabbat, like our spoons and our knives and our forks, so they defined it by, first of all, it has to be for usage. I can't just carry it around. The person isn't supposed to move his books on Shabbos. Books are Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter, right? I do permissible things with a book on Shabbos. So maybe on Shabbos, Shabbos is the day. I'll rearrange my house. My interior decorating will be on Shabbat. I'll move the table. I'll move the chairs. I'll move the books. I'll move the bookcases. What's wrong? No, Chazal said, you can move it for what's necessary on Shabbat. You need the chair here, move it here. You need the table here, move it there. You want to start doing interior decorating, just moving it so that you'll have a different setup in your house. So there Chazal said, no, you're only allowed to move things, even a Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter, for permissible things on Shabbat. So that's number one. Number two, the definition. How do we define which vessel is Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter and Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur? So our sages said, if its primary usage is something that's permissible on Shabbat. So that's, for example, our fork, our knife, our spoon, we primarily use them for cutting food, so that's okay. There's a big question about pots. What's my primary usage with pots? Why are pots permissible, prohibited on Shabbos? Can I just move around my pots on Shabbos? If I have a pot with cholent in it, so of course I can use it. That pot is used for heter on Shabbos. But what do I do primarily with pots? I cook with them. So is a pot a Kli Shem Nachto LeHeter or Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur? We generally treat a pot as a Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur. We say I'm allowed to use the pot because there's food in it. But I can't go into my cabinet and start moving around my empty pots because what I generally do with empty pots is I cook with them. So we're not moving our pots on Shabbat because our pots, our prime usage for pots is to cook with them. Yeah.
It becomes mutar if you have the usage for the pot, there are space that the pot is on. Or
so that's again, a Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur. If my definition of the pot is as a Kli Shem Nachto LeYisur, then I'm allowed to move it, letzorech gufo. If I now need the pot, I want to pour my soup from the bigger pot to the smaller pot in order to store it in the fridge, or letzorech Mikomo, if I need that space, I want to put down other pots there. Yeah.
I'm sure this is covered in the previous shirin, but is the question of usage, is it a question of person's usage, or is it a question of general consensus?
His usage.
What his usage? So yeah. For him, it matters really for him. Let's say he doesn't cook, but uses pots for containers.
It's a good question. It would seem that way, but I would want to double check. Yeah. What about Pyrex? So many people take the Pyrex and they serve it to the table. So your prime usage of a Pyrex isn't just for cooking. You also use it to serve. So then that's okay. You can move around the Pyrex. Pyrex is those hard glass, which a Duralex Pyrex, which you can cook in the oven. And then it's nice. You can actually serve it on the table. So being that my usage of it is not only to bake things, but I also serve with it, so then it becomes a kli shemnechto le'eter, because my main usage of this two instrument is not just for cooking, it's also or baking, it's also for serving. So then I'm allowed to move it as necessary. We have a higher level of things where Chazal said you're allowed to move them as much as you want, and that is food, sfarim, things that you use almost every minute, like your fork and knife and spoon and your coffee cup. Those are dishes that you're using all Shabbos long. So there you don't have to keep asking yourself, am I using it now? Is it tzorech now? I'm allowed to handle it throughout Shabbat. When it comes to our dishes, there are different opinions, whether you say that dishes are really something which you use all the time or not. I gave the example of a coffee cup because that's something which you're probably filling and emptying all the time. But what about your spoons and knife and Shabbos dishes? Are those things you always use? There are varying opinions about whether we're that lenient with that or not. And even with regards to Sfarim, Chazal didn't want you to move your bookcases around on Shabbat. You're not supposed to do extraneous activity. You're not supposed to take Shabbat as the day for transferring all my books in the house, shifting bookcases. Chazal didn't mean that when they said that books aren't mukta. So that brings us to a conclusion of vessels. Now we're going to shift to the concept of basis. Basis ledavar hasur. So, let's say an example of that would be you have a plate. You have those dishes that they put candlesticks on. So they have these, what do they call them, serving trays? They have these nice serving trays that you put candlesticks on. You left some money on the bed. You left some money on your pillow. So in all these instances, the pillow isn't mukta, but it's a basis de davar asur. You left money in your pocket, so now your pocket is a basis de davar asur. I left money in it, so the pants aren't mukta, but they have something mukta in them. So anytime I left mukta lying on something, I run into the question, does that become a basis de davar asur? I want to clear the tablecloth on Shabbat, and I have on the tablecloth the peels of pistachios. So pistachio peels, peanut peels, they become mukta after I've finished eating the peanut and the pistachio. I leave the peels there. Oh, wait a second, but I want to clear the table. How can I clear the table? Take off the tablecloth. But how could I take off the tablecloth? Isn't it a basis of devar asur? So we will get to the different criteria, when it's permissible, prohibited, and why. But our first concept is that when you have mukta lying on something else, if that item plays a supportive role, it's there in order to support the mukta item, so then even the thing that's not mukta becomes a basis, the davar hasur, and I can't move it. Chazal said that when something is a basis of davar asur, and we're still going to have to define when that happens, so then it becomes muktzeh. It's not only because it's supporting the muktzeh. Let's say, for whatever reason, the muktzeh was moved. Let's say you had your table where you work all week, and on that table you have your hammer, and under the hammer you have a tablecloth. You have a tablecloth on your table. So now on Shabbat you want to crack open a coconut. You take the hammer. It's a clear, you're allowed to take the hammer in order to open the coconut. And when you're done with the hammer, you put it in the drawer. Now the tablecloth no longer has the hammer on it. But because it did have the hammer on it, it's still basis of davar asur. So when Chazal said a basis of davar asur is prohibited, they were saying that the prohibition of muktzeh extends to that which supports muktzeh. It's not only because I can't move the tablecloth without moving the hammer. It's because I view the tablecloth as being an extension of the hammer. Now it's supporting the hammer. Ah, you moved the hammer, but that doesn't permit the tablecloth now. So a basis de davar asur is something which was supporting something prohibited on Shabbos, also becomes muktzeh. Remember, we said the definition of muktzeh is Migo de itkatzai lebin hashmashot, itkatzai lekule yoma. Once something was muktzeh when Shabbos entered at twilight, ben hashmashot, so it's muktzeh for all of Shabbat. So that applies for basis devar asur as well. Being that this basis was muktzeh when Shabbat came in, it retains that status. Now, in order for something to be muktzeh, we said it has to be muktzeh all of Bein HaShmashot. You remember we said sometimes you have something which was muktzeh for part of Bein HaShmashot. When Shabbat started coming in, when the sun set, so it was usable. And then it became not usable, or vice versa. So it has, in order for something to have the status of being muktzeh all of Shabbat, it has to be that for all of Bein HaShmashot, it was muktzeh. The same is true for Basis the Davar HaAsur. It has to be that for all of Bein HaShmashot, the muktzeh object was left on it. But let's say it was only there for part of the time, so then we would say that once the muktzeh is off of it, you can move it. Because something only becomes muktzeh for all of Shabbat if it was muktzeh for all of Bein HaShmashot. So, let's say it's Friday afternoon, and the sun is setting, and you have things that are muktzeh on the tablecloth, and suddenly you realize that, wait a second, I'm going to have to clear that tablecloth on Shabbat. So we had this last week. The kids, Shabbat comes in late, so the kids, we usually give them to eat before the meal. We let them eat what's important, their protein and stuff, early, and then whatever they eat, the Shabbos meal they eat. So the little kids are eating as after candlelighting before I come home from shul. So let's say the kids are going to eat some kind of sweets, and when they're done with the sweets, they leave their wrapper on the tablecloth. So now that wrapper is garbage. It's muktzeh.
Garbage
is muktzeh. Yeah. Right. So let's say the kids are playing with rocks and they leave a rock on the tablecloth. You lit candles. You accept the Shabbos. Those rocks are muktzeh. How are you going to take them off? Now, if they remain on your tablecloth throughout all of Bein HaShmashot, you won't be able to move it. So what do? You put other things on the tablecloth. And now the tablecloth becomes a basis, a support for Davar HaAsur, something prohibited, and Davar HaMutar. If it supports both, then I'm allowed to move it. If I have a tablecloth that has, and I'm allowed to add, yeah.
Even on Shabbat.
Oh, so on Shabbat that wouldn't help me. But we said once something was a basis of Devar Asur, all of Bein HaShmashot, then it's prohibited for all of Shabbat. But if I have something else on it during Bein HaShmashot that would make it permissible, so then it didn't have it all of Bein HaShmashot. Now this happens very often in homes. There's a question. When you have a tray that holds your candlesticks on it, so very often people like having that tray on their Shabbat table. The candlesticks are muktzah. So the candles go out. Now that they went out, it's still muktzah. Not allowed to move those candlesticks on Shabbat. Wait, but what happens if on the tray I put a bencher? What happens if on the tray I put a challah? So now the tray is supporting the challah and the candlesticks. Am I allowed to now move that tray on Shabbat? So many opinions say you're not, but there are those who say you are. And that's what some people do. Some people will make sure that on the tray with the candlesticks, they have something else on there. Well, it has to be on there before Shabbat comes in. Ah, but you didn't remember to do it. You lit candles, and suddenly you remember as the sun is setting. That's okay. Because so long as it wasn't muktzeh all of Bein HaShmashot, so long as the full twilight didn't pass with the muktzeh being on it, which makes it muktzeh, I added something to it. So during Bein HaShmashot, before Shabbat came in, as I was in twilight, the tray became a basis, a basis, a support, l'davar asur, to the candlesticks that are prohibited, v'l'davar amutar, and to items that are permissible. So again, many are of the opinion that that doesn't work. Your candlesticks are worth how much? Your candlesticks are worth thousands of dollars, silver candlesticks. Your bencher is how much? You got it free at your friend's wedding. So there's a question whether this works, this idea of putting a bencher there, etc. But if you go with the opinions that that works, or my example, your kids left wrappers, they left their Winky wrappers on your table. You have no use for those Winky wrappers. They're going to the garbage. Ah, so wait, they became muktzah. So what am I going to do? Before twilight ends, I could put other things on the tablecloth. And then the tablecloth becomes a support. Basis davar asur, vile davar mutar. So when I have a basis for something that's prohibited and permissible, that will give me a lot of flexibility. That's what the Mishnah says. Mifanin atzamot. Let's say you have bones. You finished eating your chicken, and now you're ready to toss the bones into the garbage. So those bones just became muktzah. So you fed your kids chicken before Shabbat, and they finished eating the chicken, and they put down the bones. Wait a second. Now my tablecloth becomes muktzah because they put down their bones on the tablecloth. So if they held it in their hands as they finished eating it, they could take it and clear it. What do I do now? Ah, so we're going to see many leniencies, but one of the leniencies I have is if that plate or that plastic tablecloth has on it other things, I'm allowed to move it because it's a basis not only for the bones, but also for other items that are not muktzah that are on the tablecloth. So that's a classical example that's actually quoted in the Mishnah, that you could have a basis, l'davar asur v'l'davar amutar. So if you have a bowl where you put the peels of your pistachio nuts and you have pistachio nuts in it as well, so now that bowl is supportive of both davar mutar v'davar asur. We're going to go into more details. This is just the beginning of the concept of basis davar asur. Yeah,
you can do that on Shabbat though. I mean, you're eating pistachios on Shabbat.
Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that as far as Shabbat. So far we were dealing with the concept of if it was muktzah for Bein HaShmashot, becomes prohibited for all of Shabbat.
So what do you do with piles, peels, sunflowers?
I didn't hear you.
In a synagogue, when you have Oneg Shabbat, and you come Shabbat morning, and you have this amount of garbage on this table.
We'll get there. There are many different ways to deal with it.